Lovely.
So first I'll be reading from verses 1 to 7, and then I'll be reading verses 16 to 19. So that's Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1 to 7. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you've been honoured, and I have loved you. Therefore I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. And on to verse 16. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea and a path through the mighty waters, who brings forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinguished, they are quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? And I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Amen.
Amen. And now we welcome to our pulpit Pastor David. Thank you for being with us, brother.
Well, that was amazing worship, and I'm so glad that I was here to participate in that worship, because I look forward to it in heaven, because I think that maybe, unless I have another opportunity to be here with you, we know that we will all be worshiping the Lamb in heaven. And so thank you for the warm welcome, and thank you for just blessing me in the way I have participated in the service today. And I want to just share a few thoughts from Isaiah 43, but tie it in with just my own journey of realizing that there is God who loves me, and as we have read in this passage, who has called me by my name. And the same message is there for each one of us today. And I trust that the Lord will encourage you with these words. Growing up in India, I think of my journey with Jesus in, number one, running ahead of God. I was excited to do things, and I wanted to be the first. Maybe I should bring it closer. Is that better? That's good. Okay. I was always the first to show up in church. My dad was a preacher, and before even he would get there, I would be there putting up the chairs and putting hymn books on the chairs and then playing the harmonium. I don't know if you know what a harmonium is. And so always wanting to do things. Why do I say that I found that I was running ahead of God? Because just a wonderful prayer that Sister Yu read from this missionary, that we need to be listening to God rather than do things in our own strength. And when I was 17 years old, I said, you know, the Bible says Jesus is coming soon, and I don't know what God is doing. I'd better go and help him. So I decided to quit my studies, second year of university, and go and be a missionary in a country called Bhutan. And 2 months later, I realized I was so ill-prepared for that place that I came back home feeling like a failure, that I had failed God, running ahead. But then after that, as I came to Canada to study, and then I came into a different culture and different understanding of the Christian faith even, I felt that I was lagging behind. I was too shy. I felt that maybe I have made enough mistakes, disappointed God, disappointed myself. And so I was lagging behind in doing things for the Lord. And even though I had done my Bible studies, but then wanting to understand what should I do, I think I spent many years just not sure if I could move forward anymore. I don't know if some of you have experienced that. Till one day when I was in one town where I was working, and I did very well, and they gave me an award for manager of the year. And I thought, Lord, this is not what I wanted. I just wanted to serve you. And then God changed my prayer. And the prayer was simply this, that where you send me, I will go. What you say, I will do. But I have to correct that, because the I changed to we. By then, I was married. We had 2 boys, and Dr. Josh is here as well this morning. And when they were young, where you send us, we will go, and what you say, we will do. And really, it comes from that verse in the Bible, in where Joshua 24, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. One of the worship songs in the end that you sang, I would love to change that I to a we, because I think that is so important in following Jesus, that it is an experience that all of us are called to together. Called to together. And as we look at Isaiah 43, we find that even in the church today, maybe some churches are running ahead of God. Some are lagging way behind. But what God has called us to do at times like this, to listen to God's voice and to walk together, hand in hand. The children, the adults, those who can come into the church, those who are not able to come into the church, we are called to journey together. Isaiah 43, if I were to summarize it, is basically God is addressing Israel's disobedience, which would bring war and defeat and fear of the future. And as he is addressing that, here are some of the things that I picked out from the whole chapter. And this is what I would like you to do. Okay? I like a little bit of an interaction, if that's okay. So I'm going to read some of the phrases that I picked out from this chapter. And I just want you to close your eyes and listen to them. Let God speak to you from these phrases. And if there's one phrase that jumps out at you after I'm done, just say to the person next to you and give them a chance to say what jumped out at them for you. Okay? Let's see if we can do this. Let's just hear the word of God again. If you want, you can close your eyes. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. I will gather my children from east, west, north, and south. You are my witnesses that I am God. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. I am making a way in the wilderness. And the last one is, let us review the past together. Amen. So why don't you turn to somebody next to you and just say one of the phrases that jumped out at you. Go ahead. And if you're not sure which one to pick, just say, you're looking good today. You can just say that. Brother, are you preaching to that sister? And she's so patiently listening to you. And this is amazing, isn't it, that God's word speaks to us? Every time, it's the living word. We may have read this passage so many times, but there's always something new, right? Two ways that I look at this chapter then. Number one, what it's trying to say is deal with the past. Deal with the past. Because what it's saying, God is inviting his people saying, come, let's talk about this. Let's review the past. But at the same time, he's saying, don't dwell in the past. You see, there's a difference. The difference is this, that when we sit down with God and look at our past, then God helps us free ourselves from the bondages of the past. But when we dwell on the past, those chains go wherever we go. And so the invitation, I think, number one is, God is saying, yes, I'm doing a new thing, but let's just talk for a moment about the past. You know, the past can be a difficult journey for many of us. I came from this conference where they're talking about this people movement called the diaspora, people who are displaced from their place of origin. And that causes pain and trauma. And sometimes we don't realize it. We may have moved as an international student, like I did, to Canada in 1982. But the effects of that, we sometimes don't realize. And God is saying, can we talk about that? And whatever has happened in your life, before we can see what is ahead, as we start the school year in the fall, as children go back to school, and some of us may be new jobs, whatever it may be, new ministries in the church, is there something in the past that we are going to drag along with us? One of the things that people experience these days is a more acceptable term, and that is trauma. It was not okay before to talk about mental trauma before. But more and more people are recognizing that it is okay to recognize that even for leaders. Many things that we experience in our lives, when we don't deal with it, and we want to jump ahead and serve God or do things for our life without dealing with it, and take that along? Well, the saying is so true that hurt people hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. And so if there is something that God invites us to do, as he invited his disciples and said, come away with me. This summer I shared with my church back in Canada, let's take time for those times of retreat, whether they're personal retreat or retreat with your family, or retreat with the family of God, so that we can walk in fresh insight with the anointing of the Holy Spirit for what is ahead. God is a gracious God. And when we sit down with him, and as he invites us, as in Isaiah 43, he does not open up everything about us. He doesn't do that. But he will speak to us about one thing and say, my child, can we talk about this? Are you ready? They were talking about people movement that is happening, especially in Africa. And one of the things that sometimes or often is missed is, as other news takes precedence, is the mass people movement through the corridors of North Africa into Europe. And one of the researches that has been done right now is that out of every person who makes it, there are 10 who did not make it. Every person who makes it, there are 10 that will go nameless because they didn't make it. And many of them lost forever in the waters, in the desert. And as this statistic and other stories and even raw videos were shown to us at this consultation, of people desperately trying to get onto a boat and realizing that they will not make it. So there are beautiful stories that also emerged. Stories like of this mother with a child who tried to make it to America through South America, and I do not know the whole corridor that they used. And she just had left everything behind except her Bible. And as she came through all those dangerous areas where many people do not make it, she kept reading her Bible. And she was on a documentary by the French television network of this person riding in one of the buses just between two places, reading her Bible in her language with her young son next to her. You see, we do not see God many times in our circumstance. But God is saying in Isaiah 43, whether you're a person on the move today, as most of us are, that's the reality, most of us are, that God says that I am with you. I am with you. As we deal with fear and paralysis, as we reconcile with God things where we have failed others or God in our past, and as we review with God, not alone, with godly counsel, then we are ready to now move ahead. And that's why it's important to be in counsel of those who are godly, who are mature. Many times we make decisions, and we make it by I don't know, Googling everything these days, right? I tried to do that the other day. It was, I think, a few years since I had come to Richard and Radha's home, and I was a little tired, and the flight came in, and I put in their address in Uber, and as I did that, and the driver said, "That's a long ways. You sure this is the address?" I said, "Yes, that's the address." And he said, "Yeah, I just want to make sure because it is a long ways." Well, as he started driving, it became longer and longer. I said, "Wait a minute. This is a long ways, more than I thought it was." And then I went to another place, a Google map. And when I put it in there, it said, "You're going the wrong way." Because I didn't realize that, well, I should have realized, postal codes do make a difference in with the street address. When we make decisions and choose to make decisions on our own, without having that community that is praying for us, who can speak into our lives and have the tough conversations with us. "Hey, brother, you're going the wrong way." Then we end up, as I did, not wasting dollars, but pounds. Wow, okay. But so much more costly in life, isn't it? And sometimes those costs are hard to recover throughout our life. As we deal with the past, then God invites us into engaging in the future. Because here he's saying, "I'm doing a new thing." What does engagement in the future look like? Number one, God is saying, "I will be with you." So just so I understand, because sometimes I'm too simple-minded, if God is saying, "I am going to be with you," what do I have to do? Make sure I don't let go of God's hand. You see, God is inviting that I can do this journey because this is what I have planned for you. You don't let go of my hand. So if you're going to engage in the future where God is doing a new thing, hold on to God for this ride. Number two, it says, "I will gather my children from the east, west, north, and south." They're God's children. And so if he's saying, "Don't let go my hand, and I am gathering my children," to me what that means is I need to pay attention to who God is gathering. You see, there are two words that describe the diaspora. One is the gathering and one is the scattering. So the gathering that happens is according to God's plan. It says in Acts 17. And when God gathers people around you and me, an East Hill Baptist Church, what is he doing? What is the new thing he is doing with those that you and I need to be part of? As I look over here, God has gathered many of you who have come from many places, but this is family for you. You celebrate each other's anniversaries and things in your life. You weep together. You cry together. You pray together. You probably have some nice chicken curry together too, do you? That would be important. But those fellowship that we have with those that God has gathered, as I was telling someone, is different than hospitality that we think of many times. You see, in some cultures, we are known to be very hospitable, right? You go to their house and No, you can't go. You have to have a cup of tea, or you have to have this and that. But Christian hospitality is different. It is fellowshipping with those that God is gathering around us, that we may not naturally like or hang out with. But those are the ones that God is bringing into our life, and we make them the priority in our time, in our investment, in crying with them, in praying with them, and laughing with them. Number three, be a witness that I am God. Be a witness that I am God. The word witness means what you have seen. And in order to be a witness, there are three ways that we need to do this well. Number one, be present. If in the court you were asked, did you see this robbery take place? And you say, Your Honor, I wasn't there. Well, why are you wasting the court's time? Be present in people's lives. Be present where God is at work. You grab hold of his hand. Be present in those places that God is on the move. Number two, be aware. Be aware. When I was making this trip to Africa, I've never been there before. And so the thought was, what does that have to do with my little ministry in Canada to go all the way to Africa? And when we move with God and God is prompting us, sometimes he will ask us to do things that don't make business sense. But as we do that, it helps us to become aware of what God is doing, not only there, not only in the basement, but what God is doing in our whole world, in your world and mine. Because as never before, we are interconnected. And thirdly, to be bold. To be a witness means to be bold. To be able to speak of what God is doing, even when it is not fashionable. But not taking your Bible and thumping it all over the place, but naturally talking about God as if you were talking about what your brother or sister did that day, or what your little niece did that day. God is your friend, and talking about God boldly, about his power, what he is up to in people's lives. To engage in the future, lastly, is to not fear hardship. Don't fear hardship. If we are going to be engaged with God, God is not going to take us into nice, safe places. Don't seek the comforts of life. Don't seek the comforts of life, but rather seek the rest of God. See, many times when we are tired, we look to unwind and get a little comfortable. But when we are tired and we come into the rest of God, as we sang so beautifully, he renews our strength and we can soar like the eagle. That's different. That's different. And that is how we can engage in the new thing that God is doing. Verse 19, see, I'm doing a new thing. Job 42, verse 5. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Remember, Job went through all that suffering. And Luke chapter 2, 25 to 32, you remember the time when Jesus was born. There was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying these words: Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. How many years his eyes looked for that sight on the prophecy that one day it would be fulfilled. It says, now I can be at peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So friends, as you and I, the church around the world, live in times when people are desperate, there's much darkness, God is saying, I'm doing a new thing right here. I'm gathering people right here. Let's open our eyes. Let us be part of that gathering of bringing people to Jesus. Let us see his salvation be experienced by people who are right now crossing the street. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Wasn't that a beautiful way to round up a precious word? And as we are reminded that it is sometimes so easy to run ahead of God if we're not careful, and take with us just brokenness from the past, which we can, by God's grace, let go. And that we have the great hope of the future, just bringing the beautiful message that we've just heard, a reminder of the hope that we have for the future. And trust God in the future, whatever is coming. We come to the present, where together we seek to arm in arm serve Christ with love and unity and grace. And the way that visual aid of the sermon that we've just heard is in the communion table, because there we're reminded of that the past brokenness is forgiven at the foot of the cross. We're reminded too that we have a hope that is brighter than tomorrow, and that as we saw even in Job, that in my flesh I will see my God and my salvation, and that together now in communion we can embrace today's word by sharing together, asking God to help us be that church that hears that word that we've been challenged with today. So I'm going to invite those who are coming to serve to please come up to the front, the worship team, as we come now to bring together, to tie together this message, this precious message we've heard today, and bring the message of hope together, of grace together, in being God's community. Let's share as we share together now.